Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. It's Memorial Day weekend. I got to mention to you that I've actually been to the beaches of Normandy. And it's one of those things where if you're a historian or you like history and you read a lot of history books, you can find books written by guys who were there, storming the beaches of Normandy on D-Day. And of course, you can read history books written by people who weren't there, but they've done the research and they can describe it. And I'm here to tell you that hearing someone describe something to you is not the same as going and looking at the place yourself. Now, I wasn't there, and so obviously someone who was there would have the best knowledge and memories of what happened there. But the second best thing, I think, is to go someplace and look at the place where history took place. So I was in France a couple years ago, and actually had a day to set, day set aside to go visit the beaches of Normandy. And it's one of those things where if you are ever in France, you'll be told to go see the Eiffel Tower, where you'll have to run a gamut of people trying to sell you knickknacks and trinkets. You'll stand in line to get a decent view of the city, but the question is, is it worth it? You'll also be told to go see the Louvre and maybe see the Mona Lisa, where you'll see crowds of tourists all standing like this, taking selfies of themselves with the Mona Lisa. And in the background, of course, there'll be all the other tourists taking their selfies. But take a day and go up to the Normandy coast and visit Omaha Beach and other things in that area. And it's a extremely important experience, I think. And it's interesting. I'll tell you right now. I took a train up to get close to it, but had to rent a car to go and actually drive around. And actually, I visited more than one place up there. And I did something on that trip, which I have to point out, simply because it's something I preach about on my channel, is I tell people never sign a document you haven't read. And I rented a car in France, and I don't read French. And I actually signed a rental car contract that was entirely in French. Now, the agent who rented me the car spoke English. So I asked her, I said, "Is this pretty much the same as one that would be signed in America?" And she said, "Yeah, sure." So I signed it. So my thinking actually was I'll turn the car in later on today and I'll be out of the country in about 48 hours. So, good luck with that. But it didn't cause any, cause me any problems. But I did, in fact, for the longest time, I had a copy of the contract, and it bums me out that I lost it because I actually did, in fact, sign a contract written entirely in French. I have no idea what it said other than I think I was renting a car. But I rented the car and then drove up and actually first saw the beaches of Arromanches. And there is a museum there. And if you're familiar with how D-Day happened, the guys came ashore on D-Day, and it wasn't just Americans. There's Omaha Beach, and of course the Canadians and the other allies, and I mean all of it was a joint effort with a lot of people and a lot of countries coming together, to land on mainland Europe. And but Omaha Beach is the one that gets a lot of attention because the casualty rate was quite high. But once the guys came ashore and established a beachhead and then moved in, eventually, they had to do things to start bringing stuff ashore, large supplies. And so they actually built, for instance, these temporary, harbors that they could, bring ships ashore and start unloading the material. And there's a museum about that at Arromanches. And you can actually see remnants of these temporary, docks they'd built. And it turns out they were actually more than temporary because pieces of them are still there. So I got pictures of a lot of stuff. I'll put it up on screen while I'm talking. But, got a chance to walk around. They have an armored vehicle there, armored half-track, and then there's an actual Sherman up on a hill. In battle, you wouldn't want the Sherman there, but now that it's there, it's just a war memorial. You can do that. Got back in the car though, and headed across over towards Omaha Beach. And there's a couple things there that you're going to want to see if you can get there. But if you can't get there, just listen to me explain it, because it's one of those things that I can't. When I talk to people and I say, if you're going to Europe, you don't want to see this if you can get over there. Because the first thing that I looked at was, there's a cemetery there. And we lost thousands and thousands of men landing on the beach that day. And it was one of the biggest casualties that we've ever experienced number-wise. And it's you hear numbers, but someone will tell you that, yeah, there's 9,000 people. There's more than 9,000 buried in the cemetery at the top of the bluff that overlooks Omaha Beach. 9,000 is a number, and to see it, to see the fields, the acres of markers, It changes the number, the meaning of the number. And when you walk in, there's a big monument, very solemn monument that you see. And then you walk past that, and there's the, like I said, acres of markers. And it's a very, very solemn and quiet place, a lot of contemplation. And it was interesting because you'll walk around, and if you watch Saving Private Ryan, the opening and closing scenes take place in that cemetery. And you'll see these people standing around, dressed nicely, who are just standing there. And you realize that they're there to help you. So if you actually showed up there and wanted to look up somebody's name, they'll help you find that marker for you. And, you know, if not, they're just standing there to help. But it's just a remarkable cemetery. But also, if you remember in the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, they're walking along a walking path. And these trees that are curiously bent in one direction. And if you're there, and I remember walking down that path, and then when I saw the movie later, I'm like, I've been there. I walked down this path. And the trees are leaning towards the cemetery because the wind is blowing in off the ocean. I suspect the prevailing wind tends to blow that way. Very, very interesting but distinctive path that you're walking along. And so the cemetery is on one side, and then there's a walking path, and on the other side there's a hill. You're on top of a bluff. And so there's a wall there, and you walk over the wall and you look down, and you see that the bluff goes down to the water's edge, and that is Omaha Beach. So you are in the vantage point of the people who, if they made it up that hill, that's where they would have gotten to. So you can walk around. It's a fascinating view to actually see it, because if you've read about it or seen movies about it, you can't put this stuff together in your head quite the same way, because you don't know how they edit movies and books. You know, they're words. You know, seeing with your own eyes is a very, very different thing. So after walking around the cemetery and taking all that in, then headed down, and there's a way you can drive down to the beach. Now, you can actually hike down to the beach on paths that are laid out for you if you want to, but it's quite a hike down. So I drove down to the beach in my rental car and parked and got out. And there's a couple interesting things that are going on, and one of them is that they've left a few things there. There's not a lot of stuff that's left over from the war on that beach, but they left a couple things. And one of the things that they've left is a cement bunker. I'll show you pictures. And the cement bunker, it's being overtaken right now by nature. The earth is swallowing it up. But you can still see that there used to be this reinforced concrete bunker. And you can actually walk into it and stand there and look down, and you can see the view that the other side had as they were defending that beach. And it's interesting because, you know, if you've seen the movies or read the stuff, you know that they spent a lot of time putting in these embankment, you know, emplacements that were going to be extremely difficult to take out. So, for instance, this particular one that you can stand in has a view looking up the beach, but there's no view out to the ocean. And they built it that way on purpose because they knew that the people coming from the ocean would be shooting at them. And so they didn't want to, you know, to be in that position. So they wanted to be able to shoot at the beach. And so the interesting thing is that you know, I could stand there and look at that and just take this in from all these different angles. And then, of course, you walk around the outside and you see that there's a huge, huge hole in the side of the wall. And there's some great stories about the landings on D-Day where some destroyers, you know, ships, U.S. and Allied ships, recognized that the battle on the beach was becoming much more ferocious than anybody had expected. And some of the destroyers, at great peril to themselves and the men on board, came in very, very close and were actually using their guns to try to hit targets on the beach that were giving the landing parties fits. And there were examples, and very, very well-known examples of some of these buildings that were taken out by guns on board destroyers or other ships. And the angle at which this one shell hole inside this one bunker is has to have come in from the side. And you're wondering, you know, you can see the ocean way off down there. And did somebody, you know, actually, you know, so it could have come in later, you never know. But a lot of fighting happened, but it's also just interesting to see this stuff and understand the perspective of it. And then after walking around and exploring some of these structures, and there's a few monuments and a bunch of other stuff up and down this beach that you can look at, I was there in the spring, and this is before like tourist season, so the place was fairly empty, and just happened to be there at low tide. And the Americans landed, the Allies landed on at low tide on D-Day. And they did that specifically because they came in at high tide. There were a lot of obstacles that had been placed in the water. So if they had come in at high tide, they wouldn't be able to see the obstacles. They might have run into the obstacles. Some of the obstacles were booby-trapped. So they purposely came in at low tide, thinking that, well, we can offload at the water's edge, and these guys can put their feet onto dry ground, in essence, and try to make it to shore. And that, of course, is the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan, is when the ramp drops and these guys are, you know, it's like, now, run. It's one of those things that we've had described to us. We've seen it in the movies. You can think about it, the idea that you've got to get off this landing craft and get ashore and get up to the base of a cliff. And what happens is there's the beach that goes in, and between high tide and low tide, there's wave action. And quite often there'll be a buildup of sand and dirt that's in a little ways. And if that's built up just enough that a guy could hide behind it, it actually does give you some cover. And trust me, when you're out there and people are shooting at you, you'll take anything you can get. So I actually made the point of walking down to the water's edge. I was there at low tide. And I actually made a point of looking down and putting my heels in the water and then turning around and taking a photograph. And that photograph is exactly the distance that you would have to make it. You can see. Those are my footprints in the sand right there. And you can see the distance that you'd have to make it if you were a soldier landing at Omaha Beach on D-Day. That's what, you know, and again, just because you got behind that doesn't mean that you're going to survive that day. Because it wasn't just people shooting at you with guns. There were mortars being fired. There were, you know, artillery being fired. They had portions of the beach sighted in. And, you know, there were literally guns, cannons, you know, the big ones, behind, further away that the Allies couldn't see, that were firing at them. So you had to cross the beach, survive, and then get off the beach. And they explained that fairly well in Saving Private Ryan. But standing there, I'm adult guy standing there looking up the beach, and I'm asking myself, if someone said right now, run for your life, run as fast as you can to that spot, you know, no one's shooting at you, just run, we'll stop, we'll time you. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, how bad could that possibly be? Well, you have to think about this now, because I'm standing there in civilian clothes, just wearing a windbreaker, carrying a camera. And the guys getting off the ships, the landing crafts, the guys getting off the landing craft are carrying backpacks filled with stuff. They're wearing boots, army boots, and they're wearing all kinds of clothing, which is fine, you know, clothing and all that stuff. And they're carrying a gun. And all of the weight of that stuff, and the landing craft ramp drops, and they say, go, fast as you can. Now, how fast can you run with all that stuff on your back? Running, trying to carry your rifle, stuff being shot at you, all directions. And, you know, a horrible, horrible thing to even think about. But like I said, standing at the water's edge, low tide, on Omaha Beach, and looking back how far it was these guys had to get, suddenly places it in a much different perspective than simply reading about it in a book and saying, 9,000 men died that day trying to cross this beach, you know, and it's what happens in war. So this is Memorial Day weekend, and I always think about this on Memorial Day because there's all kinds of stuff in the news and people talk about it, and, you know, we have to remember what Memorial Day is actually all about. And I always go back and think about this because although D-Day also has its, you know, people remember that as well. Memorial Day, to me, I always think about the military, and I always think about the one time I actually visited a battlefield of such prominence and actually got a chance to walk around and explore it. So again, I hope you enjoyed the photographs. I wrote an article about this for Opposite Lock a few years ago. I'll put a link to it below where you can actually see the photographs perhaps a little clearer if you want to see those. And otherwise, if you ever get a chance to visit France, I would, you know, do the touristy things. Spend a day doing that. Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, you can knock that stuff off in an afternoon. But spend a day wandering around Normandy, the area, different museums. Be sure to visit the American Cemetery, and be sure to walk down the beach at Omaha. It's a moving experience that I'm not describing accurately in respect of. I can't get across to you the impact it had on me. So I hope you enjoyed the story. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.